To open the phone lines, but I want to set aside one line for an interesting purpose. We have with us a very holy man indeed, Father Malachi Martin, advisor to two popes. And you've probably heard him before, perhaps not. This may be the first time. Father Martin is an exorcist. He has done many, many exorcisms. He now directs exorcisms. I think it would be useful and intriguing to open a line, a special line, for those who are either atheists or those who practice the dark arts. And I would like to hear your comments, and I would like to hear an interaction. Yes, this invites controversy, but that's what we do here. And it really is a classic. See, how can I put this? I guess I want to show a classic delineation between good and evil. We have good, and I know there's plenty of evil out there. So I'm actually inviting it. On one line. I would ask the audience cooperation. Otherwise, you can call any of the other numbers. But I am going to hold one line open for those of you who claim to be atheists or practice the dark arts. That line is area code 702 727 1222. I'll repeat it again, and I would ask everybody else not in that category to please now hang up. Area code 702 727 1222. Heaven knows, or maybe that's a poor expression. I can safely say that I get many, many calls and faxes from atheists. I would be interested in hearing from you. Many calls from those who practice the dark arts, magic, whatever you want to call it. So again, I request the cooperation of the audience in not calling that number unless you are one of the above. It is area code 702-727-1222. It should be intriguing. Father, welcome back.
Thank you.
We have done this on previous programs, Father, but
Yes.
if you would, describe for the audience, before we get to the phones, exactly what a real exorcism is like.
Well, the essence of an exorcism, when it's really an exorcism, by the way, just as a preliminary remark, let me state this much. A lot of people have the idea that reciting healing prayers over somebody is an exorcism. It's not. The essence of exorcism is a confrontation between the exorcist and the demon presumably possessing the person who is being exorcised. It is a personal confrontation, question and answer, and command and question and answer. It's not a question of a beautiful prayer or aspirations, all that can be included one way or the other, but the essence of it is the exorcism itself, the confrontation. And the idea of the confrontation is to relieve this person of the power possessing their will and their mind, therefore their soul.
What occurs during this confrontation? I mean,
What occurs is, first of all, there's the difficulty of getting the demon to talk.
away from the phone a little bit, Father.
Yeah, it's the difficulty is that the exorcist must first of all achieve is getting into contact with the demon, presumably possessing this person. That's the first thing, and that sometimes takes some time. Sometimes no, but sometimes it takes a long time, a lot of cajoling, a lot of abuse, and a lot of effort. And there are certain rules that the exorcist must follow, otherwise he's going to fail. Number one, when that does take place, when there is contact and there is dialogue, then the exorcist must find out the name the demon assumes. The demon always assumes a name when he possesses somebody. and how long it's there and why it's there, and then get its consent to depart. And that's the essence of an exorcism.
To get its consent to depart. Suppose
yes.
It obviously does not want to depart.
It doesn't ever want to depart. You've got to get its submission. Its consent is a difficult word to use. It's submission to being expelled. Because you see, there is an entire theory and belief behind it all, Art. It is that as long as this cosmos endures as it is, demons have a certain liberty, a certain freedom, and they roam on what is called, figuratively, the middle plateau. Once this cosmos ends, and there's only heaven, then there's only hell, and they go back there permanently, and it's more intense suffering for them. They never want to go back there. They'd rather roam around the world. And you have examples of that in the Christian Bible, in the demons who possessed these people that Christ exorcised. They said, please, please, put us into these swine. Remember the incident of the Gerasene swine, Art? It was a hog farm, obviously. And it was a whole flock of hogs. And they possessed these poor animals, and they all rushed into the sea over a cliff. They didn't want to be sent back to hell to suffer, just to suffer. They wanted to roam the world on the middle plateau. But it's a whole mentality which the exorcist must have, and because he's got to understand who he's up against.
Father, question.
Yep.
The middle plateau.
Yes.
Remote viewers, psychics, people who claim powers and insight that others do not have, are they dabbling and moving within and joining with this middle plateau?
They are. And dabbling is a mild word. They're doing much more than that. And it's a very dangerous thing because you can be locked into it and eventually end up possessed, certainly obsessed. And it is a very tempting one for many people who have psychic gifts. I had an interview with somebody there a few days ago, and he wants out of it. He originally entered it voluntarily because it corresponded to his sensitivity. And he felt that he could get certain wisdom from it. Now he knows it's slavery, and he wants out of it. And he will get out of it, too. So the middle plateau is a very dangerous thing, and people who use Ouija boards, who do transcendental meditation,
yes,
who engage in spiritual seances, properly so-called, who indulge in black wicca, or in direct cultivation of demons, they are entering willy-nilly the middle plateau, and it's very dangerous. It is very dangerous.
All right, let us go to the lines. On my special line, you're on the air with Father Malachi Martin. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for
good morning.
My call.
Oh, you're going to have to speak up. I can barely hear you. Where are you?
I can barely hear.
Oh, okay. I'm in Seattle, Washington.
Yes.
And thank you for taking my call. I'm a 48-year-old woman, and I grew up in a couple of orphanages, and I had Christianity thrown at me
mm-hmm.
my entire life.
Yeah.
And there's one question that no minister or priest has ever been able to answer for me, and this is why I feel that I am an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that I have a daughter that's an adult. I love her unconditionally. And I assume that my ability to love her unconditionally is minute to what would be God of the universe, the creator, if there is one. And with my daughter, I would never say to her, if you don't love me, I'm going to send you to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I understand that Christianity is all about, and that the God of Christianity is about, that if we don't love him and obey him, then we're going to be sent to this horrible, horrible place and suffer eternity in the hells and the belly of fire. And that's when I don't understand that, Father Malachi. I don't understand it.
I know, ma'am. I get exactly what you're saying. It's not as, and I'm not saying this about you, but it's not as crude a belief or as rough a belief as that. It's not an either-or in that horrible sense. If it were, then that would be a most unloving God.
Well,
and I would agree with you.
It.
What's that?
That is how I have felt.
I know. But that is not...
Explain it to me, please.
Well, that's not exactly the picture of things. The essence of it would take a very long time to go through it all, but the essential is this, that there are certain things which please him because they conform to his godly nature and his godly will. And by the way, I'm sure you observe most of them. The laws, moral laws, the ethical laws,
mm-hmm.
honesty and purity and compassion and gentleness,
yeah.
and, you know, living a decent life, and loving your neighbor, not doing obvious harm to anybody, really, except incidentally or in a fit, but not as a policy, not being an evil person. And one senses that from the accents you're using and the words you're using. That's what he requires as his practice. And if somebody lives like that, there is no way they can go to hell. There is no way they can be punished because they are fulfilling his...
You're the first person I've ever heard say that.
they're fulfilling his will. Now, there's this about it, that God is infinitely patient because he's God, and he has an individual knowledge of each person's soul and being. He knows my every thought, and he knows the marrow of my bones. And the point is that he measures his graces to suit what I need. But there is no way on earth, if I practice love of my neighbor, and love of myself too, I don't mutilate myself, desecrate my body, desecrate my soul with evil, or my body with excess, and I do my duty, and I live a normally good life, there is no way on earth that God would even dream of punishing me with hellfire. No way at all. So, but that's really, I've cut it down to the essentials, ma'am.
Yes.
But that's the essentials of it. This God is love.
Well, I hope that helps you. Obviously, it's an answer you've never received before.
That's true. And I've listened to you since 92, and this is the first time I've called, and I really appreciate your program.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the call, and good luck to you.
God bless you, ma'am.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Father Malachi Martin.
Hello.
Hi. Yes.
Hi, how's it going? I need to speak to Art Bell, if I can, please.
You are speaking to Art Bell with Father Malachi Martin.
I'm speaking to him?
Yes.
Oh, this is great. All right. Well, then, what it is I'm practicing white magic and everything. And, I don't know, can I let you in on my story? How much time do I have?
Well, we're coming up to a break, but you will be obviously a very interesting call. So what I'll do is hold you over. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Jacksonville in Florida.
Jacksonville, Florida. All right. I'll tell you what. Stay right where you are.
Thank you.
And we'll do our break and come back to you, all right?
Sure thing.
Father, take
That's
it easy.
Excellent.
We'll be right back. White magic, huh? Now, this should be interesting. Good morning, everybody. My guest from Manhattan, New York, is Father Malachi Martin, advisor to two popes and a very well-published author. We'll tell you about his books and how to get them shortly. This is CBC. Back now to Father Malachi Martin and my caller who claims to be practicing white Wicca. Caller, you're back on the air.
Hi, how's it going? My name's Richard.
Richard, okay.
You doing good? All right, cool. Well, then, everything that I'm fixing to say kind of it kind of goes with everything that you've been talking about the last few days with Bible codes and so on and so forth with what you were talking about today. Well, anyways, my best way to describe it with which I think his name was Steve, who he was talking about a few days ago. Well, anyways, I'm like blabbering. I'm like so.
You are blabbering, so get to the point, please.
All right. Okay, the best way I can describe it, sir, would be echoes, all right? Say where everything first started out, right? You got nothing. And then what happened is this nothing took consciousness. That consciousness is that get you up feeling in the morning, and it's just zinging right out there. That's what God is right there. He's everything that's good and that's great and that's creating all, right? Okay, as far as Satanistic goes, I mean, you can stretch it out on a line, okay? On one end, you got totally just hell, and on the other end, you got just heaven. And in the middle, you got what y'all were talking about earlier, the third plane. That's what you might want to call the color magic. That's what's easiest for most people to understand.
Is that the world you're in?
Excuse me?
I said, is that the world you're in?
No, what are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about what you said when you came on the air, that you practice white Wicca.
I practice just... It's not white Wicca, it's just...
Then, thank you for the call. You're not even consistent with what you first said. On the special first-time caller line, you're on the air with Father Malachi Martin. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, okay, I'm on. Oh, these New Agers make my teeth hurt, aren't they? I've been practicing Wicca for about 30 years plus, and Father Martin there sounded so in touch with everything. I was wondering if I could ask him a couple of questions.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, ma'am.
All right, Father?
Yes.
Would you say that things have been going kind of crazy in the world since the Catholic Church broke with tradition?
Yes.
Would it be better if the church went back to the old traditions?
Yes, but I think now that's impossible. They can't go back, unfortunately. What will happen will be some new form.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, I say unfortunately because you can see my
mm-hmm.
prejudice there. It would be better, but they can't. They've gone so far.
Yeah. Okay, because at one time I was a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, with my religion, I pull some of my favorite saints into it, too. Because
mm-hmm.
as you know, with Wicca, we encompass a lot of different religions.
I know you do. I know you do.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
Yeah.
Provided you honor Christ and...
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's a strange combination, but as most Wiccans find a place that's comfortable for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've started a couple of covens, and that was one of the main things that I would present to the people was for them to find a place for them that was comfortable.
Yeah.
And in Wicca, we really don't have black and white. It's just an easy way to explain what we do.
Yes, I agree with that. But we have to use it as a way of denominating things, you know.
One thing I've been finding is there's been a lot of dream weavers running around.
Yes, there has.
Bothering people.
Yes.
Why? I know with the New Age, weaving is a very weak form of the darker arts.
Yes, there is something let loose there which hadn't been let loose up to now.
Father, what is dream weaving?
Ma'am, you explain it in your language.
Well, you could probably explain it easier than I could. Dream weaving is when you send negative forces to people when they're sleeping.
That's right.
You can control a person better when their defenses are down.
And then sleep. The defenses are down.
Right. You can cause them great illness if they don't sleep properly.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have gotten very paranoid.
Have
you done that to people?
No, sir, I haven't. I've put up bindings and wards to protect some of the people that I'm working with.
Good, good. They give them protection that they lack.
Right, right.
There's no doubt about it. Ma'am, that you are moving.
What I was going to say is a lot of these New Agers are using this dream weaving.
I know they are.
And they don't know what they're dealing with.
No, they don't, and they end up in the ditch, as we say, figuratively speaking. And there's also behind it all, too, ma'am, there's this fact that there has been let loose upon us some other forces that help dream weaving
mm-hmm.
of an evil kind.
Yeah.
And we're trying to combat that, and that's very difficult. It's very difficult.
Yeah,
it comes from an awful lot of insomnia. It comes from an awful lot of disorder in families,
mm-hmm.
and disruptions and divorces. It accounts for a terrific amount of damage.
Oh, yes. And I've also noticed there's a lot of imps running around lately.
Yes.
Pardon me?
Imps.
Imps. What are those?
For want of a better definition, minor devils that are mischievous.
Yes,
that's the closest definition I can come
yeah,
to.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting it. They are mischievous or mischievous, as you say. They are devils. They belong to the Middle Plateau for the present moment. That's their plane of activity. And they can be called poltergeists, if you want to call them that. They behave like poltergeists at times. There are a lot of those, but I think that's all part of this avalanche that's been let loose upon us. I don't know why, but that's the way things have gone. And as you said, it did coincide with the disruption of the Catholic tradition. I don't know why.
This is the end of side one. Please leave the cassette exactly where it is.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of one of Art Bell's most popular programs. When you hear phone numbers, please do not call.
Now, from the Kingdom of Nye, more Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Here again is Art.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Father Malachi Martin. Good morning.
Wonderful to speak to you again, Mr. Bell. I just tuned in and I heard mention of the Catholic Church. I wonder if Mr. Martin could give more insight in what is actually going on with the Catholic Church.
Well, provided I don't scandalize you or hurt your
feelings. Me.
Well, you know what I mean. I have to be careful because it's one of the few things that my gentle Lord Jesus condemned was to give scandal. And there are various ways of giving scandal. But if you want me to be very frank, here's what's happening as far as I'm concerned. There is a worldwide apostasy going on amongst Catholics. And it is on the highest levels and the lowest levels.
Mr. Bell, do you know who I am?
No, not yet. Who are you?
Well, this will give you a clue. Mr. Martin, what do you feel is the Catholic Church's connection with vampirism?
Oh.
With what?
A father?
Yes?
You are speaking to somebody who claims to be a vampire.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Bell, I'll be sending you some literature, photos, and a lot of information. Hopefully you can help me spread the word about what is happening with vampires in this country and in the world right now.
Have you ever spoken with a vampire, Father?
Yes, I have. I have. There was a school of vampirology, that's what it's called, in Long Island. I knew the members of it in the 70s. I've lost track of all of them.
That school's been shut down. It has moved.
Really?
Yes. It's now somewhere in the Midwest.
Well, yes, I know that then there was another settlement or group in Louisville, Kentucky.
That's the one. It's the exact same school.
Yeah, yeah, it is, yeah. But I only had passing.
But do you know you are aware that the Catholic Church is involved in vampirism?
No, I'm not aware of that. That it's officially involved in vampirism.
The Catholic Church of today isn't the Catholic Church it was. Let's say 40 years ago.
He said the Catholic Church is not the church it was years ago. I think.
Oh, that I know. That I fully agree with you. But that there's wholesale official vampirism, I did not know. I'm not even contesting that.
A lot of the scandal that is plaguing the Catholic Church today about children, it isn't a coincidence that this is happening all over the country and why the church is paying big money to keep it quiet.
I know, we're paying an offer. We've paid since 1985, I think, with the Catholic Church in America, has had to shell out not quite $1 billion in out-of-court settlements.
Wow.
This is for child molestation.
And it's more than molestation in many ways. I'm sorry to admit.
Of course it is. The molestation is a general word covering an awful lot.
Yes. Official. When you receive the information, I need to find out how to send it to you.
All right, well...
You understand I'm in hiding.
Yeah, you just listen for my address. Father...
Yes?
I heard you agreeing with him more than not with regard to the state of the church.
Yes. The causes of that state are something else.
$1 billion, short of $1 billion,
almost,
Father?
Almost $1 billion in out-of-court settlements.
Why? Why is there so much... evil that it requires that kind of money to cover it?
Well, Art, you've asked me the $64,000 question. If we knew why this plague has descended upon us in the States, just in the United States of America alone, we'd be very happy because then we could do something about it. We don't quite know. Now, by the way, it doesn't involve more than 4 to 6%, and it's the official figure, of the clergy. But the damage is huge. And the reports we're getting about Europe and Ireland in particular are very discouraging. The same plague, which I call it, is afflicting those places, beginning to afflict them. But now that it's due to vampirism, that's something new. In my horizon.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Father Malachi Martin. Hello. Hello there. No, I guess I didn't push the button. Sorry about that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Father Malachi Martin. Hello.
Oh, all right. This is Stephen in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque, yes, sir.
Yes, on KOB. Father Martin, it's been a pleasure and an inspiration to hear you on our show.
Thank you very much for saying that, sir.
I wanted to relate two experiences to you and sort of like your thoughts on it.
Yes.
One was a number of years ago, I was involved in, I was experimenting a little bit with shamanism.
Yeah.
And I had a rather negative experience. I tried to induce a shamanic trance.
Ah.
And shortly thereafter, a large blue and red bird with a very long beak appeared before me about 3 feet away. And its beak started pooling, like, the best way I can describe it is a stream of energy from my chest. At which point I invoked the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And
the bird disappeared.
Okay.
And my question on that would be if what your thoughts on shamanism were generally, and if it is purported to be a positive endeavor by those who practice it, why I ended up having this negative confrontation. That's one story that I'd like you to comment on. The other is that my father passed away about 4 years ago under very painful circumstances after long protracted illness.
Yeah.
And about 2 months ago, I had a visitation from him.
Did you see him?
I didn't see him. I was upstairs, and I was asleep, at least I believe I was.
Yeah.
And I felt myself moving downstairs, and I picked up the phone, because the phone was ringing, and it was him.
Yeah.
And he said, as only my father would have said at the time, said, things sure are different on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And, which is very characteristic of something he, you know, like he would say.
Yes.
And it was amazing because I wanted to ask a million questions about, you know, why he died and some family conflicts that had arisen from the circumstances of his death.
Of course.
And he said, I don't have time to talk, but just be true to yourself, be happy with who you are, and I'll talk again later.
All right, Father, from that, I would ask you, do people communicate with people who have passed on? Do they really communicate with them, or is this a concoction of their own needs in their own mind?
If it were merely a question of being a concoction of their own needs in their own mind, that would be one thing. At least it's innocent. The difficulty is this, that our friend here from Albuquerque, who's been very frank talking to us, he endeavored to practice shamanism And shamanism is an open door to the middle plateau, and that middle plateau is dominated by spirits not friendly to our souls, and they can deceive us, and we can be hoaxed without our knowing it. And especially when it's a question of somebody we love, like my father, or my mother, or my sister, or my brother, or my friend, my wife, my husband, I can be deceived. And there's only one sure way of avoiding being hoaxed, and that is submitting it all to a very sharp rule of discernment, which would take a long time to explain right here and now, but it's spiritual discernment. Because anything touching the spirit, Art, and this I say also to our friend in Albuquerque, anything touching the human spirit, anything invading my soul, my will and intellect, that's how my soul has got to, is of prime importance, because I'm sitting duck for angels and devils. And I must make my choice, and I must be careful what friends I make. And I would advise him to be very careful about practicing shamanism. He had one experience which was a warning to him, and obviously he's protected. Otherwise, that bird would have tore his heart out.
All right. You're on the air with Father Malachi Martin. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
You know the man who calls about the vampirism and all that?
Yeah, he called a little while ago, yes.
Back in the 70s, I used to take a lot of hallucinogenics, acid.
Yep.
Yeah.
And one night a vampire was in the corner of the living room up at by the ceiling and hit me like in seconds. And ever since then, I've had a form of sexual obsession that, yeah. I mean, I've studied the Bible, but Father Malachi, I know the verse where you're ever learning, but you never come to the knowledge of God.
Yes.
And it's like I cannot break away from this. I mean, I know the Bible inside and out.
No. I would advise you to seek out an exorcist, because what you describe is a form of obsession, demonic obsession. It's not quite possession.
Well,
otherwise, you couldn't be talking like you talk.
That incident happened like in a matter of seconds.
Oh, yes.
I mean? I could see that thing in the corner by the ceiling, and it hit me, and I knew it had hit me.
It's instantaneous. It takes just a moment of time.
And then that other problem developed, and to this day I have that problem. I've even prayed to God and said, I know
you
this
will
is
have,
horrific,
you,
but I can't.
Until you get rid of that obsession, and the only way you get rid of that is by means of an exorcist, really. And
so drastic, you know what I mean, an exorcism?
Well, it's not drastic in your case, because you're not resisting it. It's a question
of... Well, I've been to psychologists, psychiatrists.
Oh, there's no healing there at all. All psychologists and psychiatrists will do for you, my friend, is this. They will make you viable. Do you know what I mean? You'll be able to carry on. But they
That's about what they told me.
Yeah, there's no healing.
You learn to live with.
Yeah, they don't heal you. Only one person can heal you, and that's the grace of our Lord Jesus.
And I should seek out
a holy priest.
Would that only be a Catholic priest?
Well, I only know holy Catholic priests. I'm sure there are other holy people.
And tell them what's going on in my life?
That's right. If I were you, I'd do that.
Ever since that had happened, this has caused major problems in my life.
I'm sure it
really
has. I'm sure it has.
Father, how does somebody know that... this may be a question for after we come back from the break, but how does one know that you have found the right kind of priest?
You will know that because when we say the right kind, we must mean somebody who is close to God.
Somebody capable of recognizing this.
Exactly, and has the expertise in dealing with it, because, you know, there's nothing worse than an ignorant priest who doesn't know what to do.
Well,
nothing worse than it.
Or one that cost the church a lot of money, as in...
Wow. Yeah, but talking in the context of good men, but good, stupid men can do just as much damage inadvertently. Do you understand me?
I do indeed.
You must have somebody who can help.
Father, stand by. We'll be right back. This is CBC.